So last week we left off, and I'm going to review a little bit about the relevance of the law in our lives and the relevance of the law in God's world. And last week we left off with Satan convincing Adam and Eve that God's law was not relevant and convincing them to become a law unto themselves, to do what they needed to do. Here's the problem as I see it with the enemy. He gives Adam and Eve a choice, but he does not tell them the consequences. He does not tell them the truth of what will happen if they choose what he says. And what he says to them is, you can be your own God. You can be the final arbiter of all that is right and wrong. You can decide what to do. You can have a mindset of the flesh, Paul calls it in Romans chapter 8, and you will be okay. You can do what you want to do. And we left off last week with Adam and Eve making that choice. They decide to live according to the flesh. And what happens? We find God's good creation careening out of control. We find it, instead of being orderly and peaceful, we find that sin and death have entered the creation and that thorns and thistles have grown up. And why? Because we as a species did not submit to God's law, God's word. The requirement of God's word and God's law is that we submit to it. We submit to it. And only when we submit to it do we get the benefit of God's law and God's word. Follow? Tracking? Because unless you meet the requirement, God says to Adam and Eve, you meet the requirement and you will get the benefit. And the benefit will be an orderly peace. Here's the benefit. The benefit is going to be you are going to be vicegerents of my creation. You're going to bring my wise order and peace into my creation. We have that same mandate now, that we are to be the vicegerents of God. And we do that by one way. We do it by submitting to his word and submitting to his law. And the enemy comes along to their life and to my life and to your life, and here's what he says to us, and here's the lie. He says, you can be your own vicegerent of your own world, of your own truth. You can be the king of your fiefdom. You can be your own God. And the reason God doesn't want you to do that is because he wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you less than. He wants to keep you under control. That's a lie. The enemy doesn't tell them the consequences of that sort of living. God makes it eminently clear to them. He says, if you decide to live according to the flesh, if you decide, well, how does it go for you? How has it gone for you? Does that work out? Do you not find, when you follow the enemy's teaching and leading and his word, how does your life go? Does it not, just like God's creation, careen out of control? Do you not experience chaos? Do you not experience disorder? And do you not experience, ultimately, what we will experience is death? So we have God's good creation out of control because man decided they would be their own God. They would decide, and there we have the problem. Sin and death enter God's good creation. We are headed for a thrilling experience, God tells Adam and Eve. And the thrilling experience is, you're going to run my world. You're going to run my good creation. You are to bring my wise order into what I've made. And the only thing you need to do, the requirement laid on each one of us then and today, you submit to my word. You submit to my law, and therefore you will get the benefit of my law. We cannot get the benefit unless we submit to the requirement. The requirement is we submit. The benefit is that we have life, peace, and order. So, God's project, God's creation experience, his creation experiment, on paper, as I said last week, is a failure. Because there is not wise order in creation. There is not life and peace in creation. There is chaos, there is death, there is thorns, there is thistles, and there is heartache. God responds to this. And here's how he does it. He says, okay, since you're beings that like choice, and I created you as beings that can make a choice, The only thing that I ever created that can say no to me is you. I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to give you what I call the Deuteronomic choice. And I want us to unpack that today. It's on the back of your devotional. And this is vital and important for us to understand. Since he's dealing with beings with a choice, he gives them one. And he gives me one, and he gives you one every single day. And that choice is very simple. You submit to my law, you submit to my word, or you don't submit to my law, and you don't submit to my word. The difference between God and Satan is that God tells us the truth. Satan's choice is a total lie. Total lie. I can tell you, and you can probably think of your own experience in life, when you buy into the satanic lie, there is always a sting in the tail. There is always a consequence. So, God gives them a choice, and here it is, the Deuteronomic choice, Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. Here's what God does. What God does here is he contrasts his choice with Satan's choice. His choice with Satan's choice. And when we read the Deuteronomic choice here, we hear echoes of Genesis, don't we? We hear the same thing that God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Here we have God's people who have been given the law. They've been given his word. And Moses has gathered them together in Deuteronomy after they have the Ten Commandments. And he is telling them, this is what is at stake with the Deuteronomic choice that each one of us have today. Listen to what God says. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. What about that? That's a law court scene. He is calling, God himself is calling heaven and earth as a witness against the people that he's giving the law to. When a witness is called against you in a court of law, they are going to give testimony of something that they heard or something that they knew about your actions. And here God is calling heaven and earth as witnesses against these people. Here's a law court scene. I think of the end of the book in Revelation and the great white throne judgment when all of humanity is standing before God. And the books are opened, John says, as he writes that. And in that section, God also references that heaven and earth are involved in this somehow. Heaven and earth are witnessing this whole thing. And the author says heaven and earth were called in, and they wanted to flee from the presence of God, but there was no place for them to hide. And Paul also talks about this. You know, heaven and earth are called to witness against us. In Paul's writing in the first chapter of Romans, he says, everybody is without excuse because heaven and earth portray who God is. They portray his divine attributes and his eternal power. So God is calling against you and against me. He's telling these people, I'm going to call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I've given you this choice. And one day, that's going to come back on you, because I'm again going to call them as witnesses that, yes, indeed, I did give you this choice. And here's the choice that he gives them. Today, I have set before you two choices. I'm going to hold you accountable. Here's your choices: life and death, or blessing and curse. Those are the choices you have. This is the Deuteronomic choice. You can either choose, since you're beings that like choice, and since you bought into Satan's choice, and Satan lied to you, I am now going to tell you what the real choice is and what the real consequences are. If you buy into Satan's lie, that you are autonomous, that you can eat that fruit, that you can decide for yourself the way your life should be, and that you should supremely have your agenda go forward. And by the way, it is God's job to make sure your agenda goes forward. See, that's Satan's lie. Here's what will happen to you. You will experience death. And you will experience curse. Now, it's up to you. I'm going to let you decide. You can have life and blessing, or you can have death, and you can have curse. And heaven and earth are going to witness this. And I'm going to call heaven and earth one day to say that I told you this. And that's going to happen at the great white throne judgment. You are going to have nowhere to hide. There's not going to be any excuse that you can possibly give, because everybody on the planet has had heaven and earth come and be a witness against them. Yes, God did make this choice clear. Yes, everybody knew. Yes, everybody on the planet knew that this was the choice. There was no equivocation here. What does he recommend? Choose life. God says, choose life. You know, let me tell you something. We had a prayer request for our nation today. Our nation is right here. You see, Satan's lie continues. And the reason Satan still uses this same tactic that he used in the garden against Adam and Eve is because it is so eminently effective against us. It is, he plays right into our egos. He did this to our Lord. After the baptism by John, he did the same thing to Jesus in the wilderness. He appealed to Jesus' ego. And he gave Jesus this choice. Our nation is here. We have a nation that has completely decided to ignore God. We have a nation that has completely decided to not yield to God's word, to not yield to God's law. We have a nation that has decided we are not going to submit to God's law. We have a nation that has decided to buy into Satan's lie. And the question is, how's it working? How can we not look at the circumstances in our country and the chaos in our country and the disorder in our country and not know that we are right here at the Deuteronomic choice? We have chosen as a nation death and curse, and yet, people refuse to acknowledge this. They refuse to acknowledge that we are where we are at because we have left the law of God and the word of God. People have refused to acknowledge that there are consequences to buying into the enemy's lie. The Deuteronomic choice of death and curse is here, and it is now. There are no consequences, the enemy tells you. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with killing a child. There's nothing wrong with killing a child in the womb. That is the enemy's lie. What the enemy doesn't tell us about that, and what we need to be aware of, and what you need to be aware of, what the nation doesn't tell us about that act is the untold lifetime pain and misery that is attendant with that act to those who have done that act. You see, you will never hear that as a consequence, because that flies in the face of our agendas. That is the same choice that we have every single day. Life and blessing, or death and curse. And what we have to be crystal clear on, and you know something, I'll tell you, I know that I'm going to take heat this week for saying this. I know that the enemy is going to pummel me this week for giving this message, because he right now does not want this nation to understand the reason we are where we are at and the reason we are careening out of control just like God's good creation is because God's word has been banished from the street. God's law has been banished, and we are not submitting to God's law. And if there's ever any evidence that we needed that this Deuteronomic choice is alive and well today, we just need to read the newspaper and look at the news and see what's going on in this nation. Choose life. God says, choose life. Why? So that you, and watch this, you and your descendants, may live. My particular bias here is going to be on dads and on fathers and on husbands. Do you see what is hanging in the balance here? Do you see how important it is? Not only do you, when you choose to submit, and it is a choice, when you choose to submit to God's law, your descendants, your children, also gain the benefit of you, Dad, submitting to that law. My father was Reverend James Davis. His picture is right over here. My dad made a lot of mistakes. But I'll tell you, I have made a lot of mistakes raising my sons. But I'll tell you one thing that my dad did that covered all those mistakes. My dad faithfully pointed me to the cross of Jesus Christ. That was never an option. That never wavered. I hope and I pray and I think that my sons, and as they mature, they will, my mistakes in raising them will become more glaring because I made them. But I think and I hope that I pointed them also to the cross of Christ. Listen, listen, dads. In my experience, the way of the dad is the way of the children. Choose life, fathers. Submit to God's law. Teach your children that, because you are benefiting your descendants, God says. This has a familial ring to it. So that you and your descendants may live. Well, how do we choose life? What do you have to do? How do you submit to God's law if you struggle with that? Look at the formula here. How do we choose life? What's the very first thing he says to do? Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. And when you love the Lord your God, look what will happen. You will obey him and you will remain faithful to him. If you love him, those two things will happen. Stop trying to be obedient. Oh, that's a strange thing for a pastor to say. Stop trying to be faithful. You will fail every single time. What is the key? If you love him, what did Jesus say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You see, if we fall in love with God, obedience and being faithful to him are a reaction, not an initiative. Did you all hear that? I'm giving you a tremendously important spiritual truth here. I'm giving you something that can revolutionize your faith here. I'm giving you something that I struggled with for years. And I'm giving you something that the Holy Spirit is maybe eminently aware of. If you love God, what's the Shema? What did God say to his people through the Shema? What's the number one thing you do, right, Nathan? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And when you do that, your obedience and your faithfulness to him will come. It will be a reaction. Isn't that true? If you love somebody, aren't you faithful to them? How do we choose life? We love the Lord our God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. Well, you might say, well, how do you do that? Because I don't love him. I can't honestly say that I do. I can't honestly say that God is my priority. I can't honestly say that when I get up in the morning, I am anxious to spend time with him. I just can't say that I'm able to do that. What's Paul writing about this in Galatians? Tells us exactly how to do this. You want to choose life today? You want to have blessing and life instead of death and curse? Do you want the benefit of God's word and God's law to be evident in your life and so that others will see it also? Do you want to take care of your family correctly? Do you want to take care of your marriages correctly? You want to take care of your work relationships correctly? Do you want this to trickle into your life? Then you need to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and that also is impossible for you to do. Wow, Tim, you're telling us we need to do something and you're telling us it's impossible to do. Loving God is impossible for us to do. Loving God is a fruit of the Spirit. Paul lays out the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. What does he say? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. What is the very first fruit? When we have the Holy Spirit, like Paul says in Romans, he says, it used to be sin living in you. But now it is the Spirit of God living in you. And when the Spirit of God lives in you, he brings with it, the Spirit brings with it, the very first thing that you will find happening to you is that you have an unquenchable thirst and love for God. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not something we can muster up. And I know that you're struggling with that. And I know you're wondering why I'm not obedient. Why am I not faithful? Why do I not like to read the word? Why do I struggle with loving God? It is because you are trying to do it, and that is impossible. You want to choose life? Then you submit to the call of God, and you allow the Holy Spirit to live in you. And what you will find, like Paul says in Romans chapter 5, he says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Spirit that he has caused to live in us. That Spirit that he has caused to live in us wants to be found by God, wants to find him, wants to have a relationship with him. That Spirit, as James says in his fourth chapter, he has the Spirit that lives in us that yearns jealously to get back to the Father. What a gift that is. You get caught up into the Trinitarian love triangle when you have the Spirit, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in a deep, loving relationship. And what God has done with the incarnation through the Spirit in our lives is he has caused us to primarily and first of all fall in love with him. And when we fall in love with him, our obedience and our faithfulness to him come as a reaction. How are you doing with that? Is anybody struggling with that, with obedience and faithfulness? Do you find yourself wavering? Do you find yourself getting away from God? Do you find yourself not reading Scripture? Do you find yourself drawn into the world? Do you find yourself thinking according to the flesh? Do you find yourself having a mindset of the flesh? Do you find yourself being hostile to God, not able to submit to his law? Do you find yourself not pleasing God? Paul says, here's the reason. You have bought into the lie of the enemy. You bought into the lie that you can live that way with a mindset of the flesh and there are no consequences. But Paul says in that same passage in Romans 8, he says, yes, that is the way people live that have a mindset of the flesh. And then he says to us and to you and to me, but you have the Spirit of the living God in you. You have the Spirit living in you. And therefore, the inference is, you can please him. You can submit to his law. It has been made available to you. You have the ability. And therefore, I call heaven and earth to witness. I call heaven and earth as witnesses right now in this law court. You don't have an excuse. Because I've made it possible. I've given you a choice, and not only have I given you a choice, I've given you the ability to make the right choice, and not only that, I've given you the ability to love me with all of your heart when my Spirit lives in you. Remain faithful to him. Why? Because he is very simple. Why? Because he's your life. He's your life. Human beings were always created to be an extension. Now get this. To be an extension of the divine creator into his world. Fascinating. We are called to be vicegerents. We are called to rule his creation. And that is genuine life. But, God lays down here, the requirement is that you obey and remain faithful. That's the requirement. And the benefit, if you meet the requirement, you'll have life. You'll have blessing. You'll have peace. He will, and he is your life, and not only that, he will prolong your life in the land the Lord swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did Jesus say the enemy came to do? What did Jesus say the Satan comes to do? Only three things. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. Buying into Satan's choice that you can decide for yourself the way you're going to live your life. And I'll tell you, this trickles down into the smallest details every single day of our life. This trickles down and so much heartache and so much disorder and so much chaos comes into our lives and has come into my life whenever I have bought into the enemy's lie and live according to the flesh, because I haven't met the requirement of the law, because I didn't submit to the law. And when I don't submit to the law, when I don't submit to his word, I don't get the benefit of the word. I don't get the benefit of the law, because the benefit of the word and the benefit of the law is right here, life and blessing and peace and comfort. He will prolong your life, whereas the enemy will shorten your life. He will steal and he will kill and he will destroy. And not only your life, he will also do that same thing to your relationships. He will do those same things to your work environment. He will do those same things to your worship with God. The Deuteronomic choice, either the insidious process of death and curse will come rushing forward to meet you in the present every day, or the insidious process of life and blessing will come rushing forward to meet you every single day. Well, are you able to do that? Are you all submitting to God's law? Everybody submitting to the word? No struggle there, right? Well, let's look at what Paul says. Look at Romans right below there. How's Paul doing with this? The commandment, what commandment? Well, the commandment just articulated above by Moses, God through Moses, the commandment to love God, to be obedient to him, and to be faithful to him. The commandment that was meant for life. Well, that was meant to give us life, wasn't it? Moses said that. If you do this, you'll live. If you don't do it, you'll die. But the commandment that was meant for life resulted in death for me. Why? Because humanity bought into Satan's lie, therefore we have a mindset of the flesh. Humanity bought in. Our nation has bought in. And therefore, our nation is experiencing the insidious process of death and chaos and curse that is at the end of that road, comes forward to meet us on the road. That's where we're at. Because we have been given the Deuteronomic choice, and our nation jumped at the chance to choose Satan's lie. Well, the commandment was supposed to give me life, but it resulted in my death. Why? Because I wouldn't, Paul says, I couldn't, and I didn't submit. I just didn't do it. I wanted to do it, he says there in verse 18. You see that? For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me. Do you have that? I know how my life should be. I know I should submit to God's law. I know things go better for me when I do that. I know I experience blessing and life when I do that. And I've also experienced Satan's lie. I know that when I buy into Satan's lie and have a mindset of the flesh, every single time I get burned. And my family gets burned. And my church gets burned, and the nation gets burned, but still I find myself going back and back and doing it over and over again. And I don't want to. I want to do what's right, Paul says. The desire to do what is good is with me. I have the desire to choose God's way and his law. But look at that and highlight that and circle that. But there is no ability to do it. Stop, Paul is saying, what I just said. I'm echoing Paul. He's not echoing me. But what Paul is saying there is stop trying to be obedient. It's futile. Stop trying to be faithful. futile. And that again is the enemy's game. Because what he says, okay, you want to choose God's way? Choose God's way. You go ahead and submit to his law. You go ahead and be faithful. Good luck with that. Go ahead and go try it. Because that is what the enemy tries to get us to do, to try and go down that road of legalism and find out that it is impossible. And what happens to your faith when you do that? And I know every one of you have done it, and I have too. What happens to your faith? You completely burn out on it, and you completely leave it, and you say, there's no use in trying this because it, in quotations, you've heard this, it doesn't work. There's no ability to do it. The requirement has not been met. Therefore, the condemnation of curse and death and chaos and trouble and turmoil, the condemnation of relationship problems, the condemnation of depression and anxiety and hopelessness and suicides, the condemnation of a world that we live in that has no order, that condemnation continues for one simple reason: the requirement of the law has not been met, and you are not going to get the benefit of the law unless you meet the requirement of the law, and that is immutable. God's law does not change. God's law stands. Until heaven and earth pass away, Jesus said, this law stands. What have we done? What's happening in the church? What's happening? Well, God's law, we have to look at that in the context of when it was written. You know, that was for a faraway land and a benighted time, and they weren't as enlightened as we are. And, you know, like for instance, you can choose your own gender. I mean, really. Does that really matter? I mean, you know, God said, yeah, he created male and female, but not really. I mean, you can choose your own gender today. That's perfectly okay. And if that child is going to be a bother to your life, well, it's okay. You know, it's not really a child. It's not really a life. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Life set. That is a mindset according to the flesh. How did that happen? How have we come so far as a species that God's law has become antiquated? It's even happening in the church. Let me tell you something. There are seminaries today, seminaries across this nation, that actually debate this issue, the gender issue, actually say there's two sides to it. Debate the abortion issue, say, well, there's two sides to it. No, there aren't. There is God's side. That is truth. Truth is not relevant. Truth is not as what is convenient for us. Truth is not what works for me. Truth is here in God's law and in God's word. And the reason the Deuteronomic choice has come to bite this nation is because we have bought into the enemy's lie that we can live according to the flesh. We can have a mindset according to the flesh. And Paul says, if you do that, four things happen. Number one, you're hostile to God. Number two, you don't submit to his law. Number three, you can't submit to his law. And number four, and here's the big one, you therefore cannot please God. Are we a nation that needs to please God? Are we a nation that is pleasing God? Do you not see all four of those things that have happened? We are now at a point where we are not pleasing to God. And then he says, you, however, God's people, listen. You, however, are not in the flesh. You're in the spirit, since the spirit of God lives in you. Therefore, you are not hostile to God. You're friendly to God. And you can submit to his law. He's given you the ability to do so through his spirit. And therefore, fourthly, you can please God. You can. And when you please God by making the right choice, you will experience life and blessing. Life and blessing will come into your life. The insidious process that is at the end of our road starts to affect us now. Well, how do you do that? I've laid out the groundwork for it, but still, Tim, I struggle with this. I got to be honest with you. Still, I just struggle with it. I'm like Paul. I want to do what's right, and I want to choose that, and it sounds so good to me what you're saying, and I would love to buy into that. But I still am not doing it. I still see chaos in my life. I see chaos in my marriage. I see chaos in my family, in my job. But now, we do next week, now, Paul says, when he starts Romans chapter 8, the reason I'm in love with Romans chapter 8, because everything that I just said, everything that God just said through Moses, everything that God just said through Paul, Paul starts out Romans chapter 8. He says, you know about that condemnation that still exists because you're not submitting to God's law. You're not getting the benefit. But Paul says, he starts out Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, but now no condemnation exists for those in Christ Jesus. For the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from that law of sin and death. We're going to unpack that in the next few weeks, and you are going to be blessed by this teaching. I pray that the Holy Spirit would bless you this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on all of these, your people. We pray that we would embrace what the Spirit is doing within us. Amen.